Oh, there are some things I may not know. There are some places I can't go. Oh, but I am sure of this one thing, that God is real. For I can feel Him deep within. God is real. He's real in my soul. You believe that this morning? My God is real, for He has washed and made me whole. His love for me is like pure gold. My God is real, for I can feel Him in my soul. Out in these days, some folks they scorn, they laugh, some folks they scorn, but they can go on and just leave this little bride alone. Oh, but as for me, I want to take God's part. I know He's real, for I can't in my heart. Oh, my God is real. Yes, He's real in my soul. My God is real. Oh, friends, He's washed and made me whole. His love for me, yes, it's like pure gold. My God is, my soul. Let's sing that again this morning. My God is. Just how you felt when my Jesus took all your sins away. But since that day, yes, since that very hour, my God's been real. Oh, and I can feel His Holy Ghost power. Oh, my God. Let's just stand and sing it. His love for me, it's like pure gold. My God is real. I feel it in my soul. Well, some folks may doubt, some even scorn, but them and their websites can go on and just leave me alone. For since that day, oh, since that very hour, God has been real. Oh, I can feel His Holy Ghost fire. Yes, my God is real. He's real in my soul. My God is real. Oh, He's washed and made. My God is. Why don't you turn around and shake somebody's hand this morning? Tell him how God's been real to you. My God is real.
Bless you. Let's just give the Lord a hand clap of praise this morning. Amen. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated again this morning. Sister Christy, have you got a special for us?
Who watches him grow?
Sometimes, what about our clothes? What about our house? What about our vehicles? Oh, the ravens don't worry. The lilies don't worry. Why? They know who they serve. Amen. What a mighty God that we serve. Amen. Lord bless you. Now, Brother Luke probably remembers the man that sang this originally, so he'll just have to forgive me this morning. I don't sing it quite as good as he did, but... Well, I've seen all this world I want to see. Old things down here ain't got no chains on me. I'm not worried about the future because I know He's ready to come. I'm ready to go. Oh, it seems like everybody's talking about heaven. But if you want to go along, you better be a believer. Oh, saints, I got a feeling someday soon we'll be leaving. Well, if you want to ride this train, you better not be slow. He's ready to come. Are you ready to go? Well, sometimes it seems like everything goes wrong. We just sit around and cry and sing, oh, sad songs. Then He whispers in our ear to let us know He's ready to come. Church, get ready to go. Let's stand and sing it. Well, it seems like everybody's talking about heaven. Oh, but if you want to go along, you better be a believer. Oh, church, I got a feeling someday soon we'll be leaving. Well, if you want to ride the train, you better not. Ready to come. Are you ready to go? Oh, yes, it seems like everybody.
He's ready to come. I'm ready. He's ready to go this morning. Amen. Brother, I do remember that song. Well, that's an old one, but you sang it better because you're in the message. Heard that song when I was a little boy. Amen. Didn't used to think I'd say that a long time ago. Didn't think I'd ever say a long time ago, but when I was just a little boy, I heard that song, and man wrote a lot of inspiring songs. Amen. God's got great gifts all over, don't he? Amen. Sure appreciate the Lord this morning, and such a privilege to be back with you. And I trust that something's been said this weekend that would make this meeting special for you. Amen. God has said something that would, amen, benefit you. I just want to express this morning before we change the order that I appreciate your pastor and the kindness and that he's showed to my wife and my family and gave us a nice place to stay over there. And the house that they rented for us, it's much better than a hotel room. Where you just kind of, the kids drive you crazy. You know, they get on one end, I get on the other. Amen. I told him the other day, I really like grandbabies better than I do kids, my own. And so my grandkids live next door to me. Well, let me explain first. my grandkids live next door to us, and they come over the house, and he's always hollering Papa, and he'll come over there. And the wonderful thing about it, I can enjoy him, and then I can send him back over to the house. That's why I said that. So my mother used to tell me, said, if I knew grandkids were this much fun, I'd had them first. So, amen. But I do appreciate your pastor, and we certainly will remember him in our prayers. Pastoring is more than just preaching. There's a lot that goes with it, a lot of strains that a man goes through. And I know I've been pastoring in South Carolina for 17 years now, and the Lord's been good to us. And so I just ask that you'd remember my family and myself and prayers. My wife and I will be leaving about 2 weeks, going over to South Africa, and we'll be in Johannesburg and Cape Town, Port Elizabeth and Durban. And the hardest part for her is I can't take the kids, especially the two youngest, so she's got to be away from them for a little bit. So we just ask that you'd remember us, amen, in your prayers, and we'll certainly do the same for you. Amen. God is good. Amen. I wonder if we could just sing one more song together, if we could. Do y'all, I don't know if you know that. The other day you didn't know the one I was singing, so I'm kind of scared to try it again. So, amen. But let's just sing, if we could, Amazing Grace. That'd be good. Amen. Key of G. I know you got to know that song. Amen. Praise God. Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound, oh, that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Oh, I was blind. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Oh, let's just lift our hearts now and sing. We'll praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. We'll praise God. 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 Thank you, Lord. Well, when we've been there 10,000 years, we're bright and shining as the sun. Will we know less days to sing our God's praise than when we first? Oh, one more time now. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound, oh, that saved a wretch like me.
was lost, oh, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now.
Thank you, Lord. Heavenly Father, what a great privilege it is this morning, Lord, to be standing in your divine presence one more time, Father. We come, Lord Jesus, this morning to open the great book called the Word of God. And we pray now that you would, Lord, open our understanding. May the Holy Spirit just help us this morning to get out of the way. May you speak to every heart and every life. Lord, open our mouths and divinely, Lord, just direct our thoughts. And may, Lord, what we say this morning be pleasing in your sight. Lord, may it speak to every heart. We pray that when we walk out of here, Father, that we'll just be a little closer to you this morning, Lord Jesus. Have your way in the service. Meet every need represented among us. Touch the sick and the afflicted, O God. Grant the desire of every heart, we pray, that it's pleasing in your sight. In Jesus Christ's name, and the church says, amen. God bless you. While you're standing, if you would, let's open our Bible to the book of Ephesians, chapter 5. Amen. Y'all don't mind if I take this coat off again? I honestly don't know why we wear them. We don't even keep them on. Ephesians chapter 5, I want to begin with verse 15, and let me say before we start, I won't be long. That relax everybody? Amen. My boy the other day counted how many times that I said, I'm fixing to close. And one fellow told me after service that I wanted to holler, Pharaoh, let my people go. The other day I preached, my Zachariah back there, he told me, he said, Daddy, that was the shortest sermon I ever heard you preach. I said, really? He said, yeah, when I woke up, you was done. So I hope you don't go to sleep on me this morning. Amen. Ephesians chapter 5, beginning with verse 15, and I'll read down to verse 21. Paul, the apostle, said, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be ye filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns, in spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. I'd like to take my text this morning from verse 16, where Paul admonished the church to redeem the time. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Pray the Holy Spirit now would just speak to us in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. I love God's word. Amen. I find it amazing to see the inspiration of the scriptures. To think that after 2,000 years, letters that were written, penned, by men that was inspired by the Holy Ghost, like the great Saint Paul the Apostle. After 2,000 years, the scriptures still have relevance for the hour that we're living in. Brother Branham said, what separates the Bible from all other books is because it is a book of prophecy. It not only speaks of maybe the present hour that someone lives in, but it covers the entire age in which God would deal with humanity. And in this scripture, not one word has ever failed. It's God's authority. It's God's absolute. It is the absolute truth. Amen. There's not one contradiction in the Bible nowhere. There's men that's tried to say that the Bible is full of mistakes. And usually that's a carnal-minded individual that's trying to just to compare what
looks like a contradiction, but I find that many times the greater revelation lays in the apparent contradiction. God has a way of pinning it that he hides it from those that's not ordained of God to see it. It takes the Holy Spirit. Someone said, why would God do that? Well, our Lord Jesus, one day in Matthew chapter 11, verse 25, the Bible said he lifted his eyes toward the Father and he said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast hid these things from the eyes of the wise and prudent, and thou hast revealed them unto babes. And the prophet would always follow that statement with, as such as would learn. Amen. So Paul the Apostle was divinely inspired in what he wrote in these letters. You know, I find him to be such an amazing man, even the way that he would maybe pen a letter to the church. It never was Apostle Paul. Never do you find Paul calling himself Apostle Paul. It was always Paul the Apostle. And the reason that was because when a man put a title at the beginning of his name, it was only a title. But when a man put that at the end of his name, it was a position. And Paul's position in the body of Christ was that he was an apostle. Brother Branham said he was such a servant of Christ. He was such a prisoner to Christ that even when Paul was in the prison house in Rome, he didn't say, I, Paul, a prisoner of Rome. But he said, I, Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ. He was so inspired, so directed by the Holy Spirit that the prophet of God said that the Apostle Paul got his inspiration to write the scriptures from the pillar of fire itself. I believe in this hour that, as Brother Branham said, the same pillar of fire that inspired Moses and Paul to pen the Bible is the same Holy Spirit pillar of fire that came in our day that interpret the Bible to us. When I listen and read the Bible and I listen to the prophet of God, I realize that this message perfectly dovetails with the scripture. There's no contradiction between what a prophet of God spoke of this age and what this Bible says. He said himself, I preach the same gospel Paul preached. Brother, that gives me great consolation this morning to know that our trust can be in what these scriptures say. But then I find that Paul the Apostle, being directed by the Holy Spirit on many occasions, he takes certain analogies of life to compare to the church to something spiritual as a relationship with Christ. We see him comparing it to a farmer. We find him comparing it to running a race as a runner. He compares it to the relationship that a man has with his wife. He compares it to a body, a human body, the church. He uses all of these analogies. But here in Ephesians chapter 5, we find that Paul talks about the church being like a human body. And then he puts the church in certain positions, that body in certain positions. And when he starts out the letter to the Ephesians, he actually says that we sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. He starts out by telling the church that we are positioned in the same position that the body of Jesus Christ was put in after his resurrection. That when Jesus ascended up on high, when he conquered death, hell, and the grave, and he ascended to the Father, the scripture says he sat down at the right hand of the Father. It's amazing when you think of the inspiration that Paul had to write those things. Then the prophet of God tells us that when Jesus ascended to the right hand of the Father, he sat down. That was a sign that when a man sat down, his work was finished. Brother, that just speaks volumes to us this morning. To think that Almighty God would identify us as well. That when Jesus sat down at the right hand of the Father, the church is sitting down with Christ. That means that there's not anything that we have to do, that the work has already been completed. Oh, that gives me great consolation to know that we cannot earn it. Anything that we have this morning, we have by the grace of Almighty God. I remember growing up as a little boy, there'd be scriptures that the Pentecostals would major on. Then there'd be scriptures that the Baptists would major on. And it was almost like you cut the Bible up and said, the Baptists own this and the Pentecostals own this. And you find the Pentecostals never wanted to quote Ephesians 2. that says, "For by grace are we saved through faith. That not of ourselves, it is a gift of God." Brother Branham says, if there's one thing that we could do humanly to merit eternal life, Jesus Christ died at Calvary in vain. Brother, that gives me great consolation this morning to know that the work has already been completed. And the Apostle Paul said that we sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And Paul said that is the believer. Brother Ben said that is the believer's position in Christ. Now, what's amazing is that Jesus is the high priest. And when you go back to the Old Testament and you see the Levitical priesthood, when they went into the tabernacle of God, they went into the presence of God, there were certain things that these priests would carry out. In the outer court, they had certain ceremonies they would carry out. When they went into the inner court, they had certain ceremonies that they would carry out. And then they had the most holy place. Each one of those places were separated by a veil. But inside that tabernacle, did you know that the priest, there was no place for him to sit down? His work was never completed. He couldn't sit on the outside. He couldn't go in and sit on the inside. He couldn't go to the holy place and sit there. There was no place for that priest to sit down because his work was never completed. But when Jesus come and he paid that ultimate price, he sat down because his work was completed. Jesus was not a priest after the order of the Levites, but he was a high priest after the order of Melchizedek. He would come and finish the work. Almighty God himself would come down and become a man, and he would finish that work. And Paul starts that letter out by saying, we sit with Christ in heavenly places. Then Paul, as he begins to progress, I watch him, as he begins to progress, he moves the church to another position. And in that same letter, he talks about not us only sitting, but he talks about us standing. And he tells us to stand, and therefore having done all to stand, stand. So he puts us in another position. But what he capitalizes on the most in the book of Ephesians when it comes to the human body, Paul not only speaks about us sitting and about us standing, but he uses this word more than any other word in the book of Ephesians, and that is the word walking. He said we sit with Christ, we stand with Christ, but we walk with Christ. Now he says here, and he tells us not only do we walk as a believer, but he tells us how that we should walk. Now look, if we're going to walk and we're going to be admonished to walk, then we want to know how we're supposed to walk. And the Apostle Paul says that we should walk circumspectly. Now that might sound like a big word, but it's not really that big. It's the ideal that each believer is to walk in Christ, and your walk is to be a walk that is circumspectly. That means that we walk diligently, we walk perfectly, we walk exactly, we walk accurately. Now the only way that a believer can do all of those things and walk circumspectly, he has to walk in this life in the light of eternity. Everything that he does has to be done in the light of eternity. Realize and watch that life is only a vapor. That we're only here for a short span, and this is how the Bible calls it, that we're only sojourning. We're only walking through life for a space of time, and then it ends. So we walk in the light of eternity, and that's what it means to walk circumspectly. Here's the word. It's a word that says, now I'm just going to lay this out for a minute. It's a word that describes when you walk circumspectly, you walk in wisdom. You walk as wise. You walk accurately. You walk diligently. You walk with an understanding. And here's what he says, the contrast. Not as fools, but as wise. Walking diligently, walking accurately, looking around, knowing the day and the hour you live in. Know what's going on. Walk in wisdom. Be wise about how you walk in this life. Realizing that we're only here for a short span, and this thing will end. One day it'll be over with. And how you walk will make a difference in the light of eternity. Now we find that Paul says to walk in light, to walk in the Spirit. Here's some of the things he says. To walk worthy, to walk in love, to walk in his ways. Now let me just express this for a minute. It carries the ideal that the Christian walks a life of progression. You never are just standing in one place. Only if that light stands still do you stand still. But if that light ever moves, you've got to move with that light. So your eye, listen, as you walk, your influences is that light that's leading the church. I'm going to express this a little bit. Because this has to do, and I'm going to just lay a foundation. This has to do with the activity of the Holy Spirit in every man's life. Brother, if you have the Holy Spirit today, God is at work within you. Do you understand that God only wants to do for you as a believer? God only wants to answer your prayers. The scripture says that he can do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or even what? That we can even think. But nobody finishes it. It says, according to the power that worketh in you. He said, I would that you'd prosper and be in health even as your soul prospers. So there's something taking place in the believer's life. The Holy Spirit is not just active in this building, but the Holy Spirit is active in every believer's life. This is the reason Brother Bam would call it an individual affair. Every man has got to have that personal relationship, personal walk with Almighty God. Do you believe that? Say amen. Now let me just drop this in here. This word, walking, has always, always been associated with God and his seed line. From the very beginning, when Adam and Eve fell in the Garden of Eden, here's what the scripture says. It didn't say they saw God, though we know they did. Brother Bam said they would actually see a light come down, and he would get in the bushes yonder, and then they would hear a thunder, and he said that was Jehovah talking to them. Said so they'd go over by a tree and they'd have church. But this is what the scripture said. They heard the voice of the Lord God. Anybody know? Y'all gonna preach with me this morning? Just look at me. They heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the evening. Now, right out of the garden come two seed lines. And then when a man came on the scene that men begin to call upon the name of the Lord, it's one of the greatest types of the believer sitting here this morning. And his name was Enoch. And the scripture said about Enoch, he walked with God and was not, for God took him. So immediately the man that actually has such a relationship with God and leaves this world as we desire to do, the association that the scriptures gives with this man and his God was that he walked with God and was not, for God took him. I heard a preacher say years ago that America has astronauts, Russia has cosmonauts, and God's got was nots. Where we'll walk with God and be not one of these days. Coming out of the, after the Babylonian account, another seed comes on the scene, and his name is Noah. Noah was a preacher of righteousness. The scripture said he was a man that was perfect in his generation. And listen to the association. And Noah walked with God. Coming from there, we see a seed line come out of Noah. And one of those seed lines produces a man by the name of Abram. In the 17th chapter of Genesis, verse 1, the Lord speaks to Abraham. And listen to what he said to him. I am the Almighty God. And then he says, walk before me and be thou perfect. Almost every association that the seed of God has with God It is that they walk with God, because it's identifying a man's progression as he grows with God. He learns more of God. And every time God reveals himself to you, you have to take that responsibility to grab a hold of that revelation and walk in what God's showing to you. Do you realize that some of us sitting here this morning, if we had not carried that very thing out, we wouldn't be sitting in this message today. When God showed you this message and this light come across your path, what brought you to where you're at today is because you have that association as a seed of God, that you walk with God. You walk with that light. Now Jesus, when he was here, this is what he said to those. Now think about it. He's talking to a generation of men that got stuck somewhere. And they got stuck with Moses. They got stuck with Abraham. And they didn't progress past that revelation that God made known to them men. Here come the light himself. Because listen, Jesus just wasn't a furtherance of light. Jesus was the light. He said, I am the light of the world. Brother, I made a statement to the church the other day that what would cure all religious confusion is one statement that Jesus made. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man comes to the Father but by me. I don't believe there's 1,000 roads to God. There's one road to God, and Jesus is his name. Can you say amen? That's not politically correct, but that's still the truth. And Jesus is the Word, and the Word is made manifest, and that's what comes to prophets. Do you believe that? Say amen. But here's what Jesus says, talking to these men, because he knew they claimed to be the seed of God. He knew they claimed to be the children of God. They claimed to be the children of Abraham. But then he said to them, yet a little while is the light with you. His next statement to them is, walk while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you. Now, can you imagine that? Jesus looking at men and saying, the light's with you. And really what he's telling them is, come walk with me. Because when I'm gone, darkness is what's going to be left. And he's saying, walk in the light, walk with the light while you have the light. Now think about that. Because you can have light, but when God reveals more light, to fail to walk in that light, that greater light, the light you have now becomes darkness. That's the scriptures, brother. And then he says, for he that walketh, and you'll see how this all ties together, in darkness knoweth not whether he goeth. The only people that can walk in wisdom, with knowledge, understanding, is the people that walk in the light. Because a man that don't have light don't know where he's walking. He's stumbling around the darkness. Thank God for this great message today that's shining upon our path. We can see the hour we live in. We see the day. We can look out here and see the events that's transpiring in the world and see the scriptures being made manifest and know the very day we're living in. That's the people that walk in wisdom, walk in understanding, realizing the hour that we live in. Now one more writer, 1 John chapter 1 verse 7. This is what he said, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. So he even identifies the application of the blood is identified with those that walk in the light. To fail to receive the light is to refuse the blood of Christ. Come on, church. Did you know Brother Branham said in the resurrection, the rapture message, he said that when Luther and Wesley and all those great men come up in the resurrection, he said they will come up proudly displaying the blood of Jesus Christ upon their chests. He says the message of God in the hour that they lived in. This message is the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. To refuse this message is to refuse the blood of Christ. This is the reason Brother Branham says that the foolish virgin them will have to go to the tribulation and give their own blood because they rejected the blood which was the bleeding word. Can you say amen, church? They fail to walk in the light. Here's a quote that sort of identifies what we're going to look at a little bit. Brother Branham says in Israel, in the church, he said, look back in them old days there. They put up their tents. There was the pillar of fire that led them.
And every time that pillar of fire would move, they'd move with it. It stayed over the tents. If it was 10 o'clock at night or 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and there was 1,000 trumpets that blasted at once, and every Israelite took down his tent, pulled up his stakes, wound up everything, and they followed that pillar of fire. So, brother, there may have been some that says, well, we got the tent set up now. We're satisfied where we're at. We're just going to settle down right here. If that pillar of fire moved, their tents had to come out. Stakes had to come out of the ground. Their tents had to be folded up. And they had to follow that light. If they didn't, where they were at would be darkness to them. Because they had to follow that light. Brother Ben said, oh, that would be a good thing today. They followed the pillar of fire. Then where the pillar of fire stopped, they built under that pillar of fire. They become lost to the church. Brother Ben said, oh, the days of Martin Luther, 1,500 years in the dark ages. Martin Luther saw the pillar of fire move. And he come out of the Catholic Church. He followed the pillar of fire and brought tens of thousands out with him. He said, then Martin Luther built under the pillar of fire. And when he got down there, the first thing you know, he made a great organization called the Lutheran Church. But one day, the pillar of fire began to move again. He said, what happened? Brother Bam said, but Martin Luther couldn't move because he had organized. He had to stay there, right there. And today, in this age, we see the results of that settling down and not moving the light. It's the reason today we got Lutheran churches sitting all over this country and all over the world. It's because one day they settled down and the pillar of fire moved, but they didn't move with it. Then what happened? Little fella, he says, over in England, by the name of John Wesley, saw it. Martin Luther said, the just shall live by faith. John Wesley said, Jesus suffered without the gates that he might sanctify the people with his own blood. And he seen sanctification. The pillar of fire moved, but Luther couldn't move because he was organized. Oh, brother, can't we see we never want to get to the place that we wouldn't desire to see the rapture come? Amen. We never want to get to the place that we're so satisfied with what we got here that we couldn't turn it loose if the pillar of fire was calling us out of here. One of these days, look, I know it's hard for people to get a hold. I was over the grave the other day, took Brother Charlie over there to see the grave again. My children, we go out there. One of these days, people's going to walk up there and there ain't going to be no William Branham in there. And there ain't going to be no grave busted open and the headstone kicked over and all that to tell. It ain't going to happen that way. But them told us in the breach, there ain't no angels coming down and digging up no graves. But one day that prophet with the saints will walk up on this earth. But them said about a month or so. Then it's going to be something moving on now. And I never want to get so tied to this world that when that call comes, there wouldn't be something in me that would move with that call. Can you say amen, church? Not a surprise, but a reality. Someone said, well, we know it. Oh, you better believe we'll know it. Them that's walking this light will know it. The prophet of God said, let me say this to you, brother. God in the Bible never did organize a church. That's doctrine. The Catholic Church says they're the mother church, and they are the mother church. They're the mother of organizations. Revelation 17 said the same thing. That's right. The first organized church. And these little daughters that's dropped off of it, Revelation 17, we'll get to that next week. They couldn't move. John Wesley saw the pillar of fire and he moved after it. He saved the nations. About 3 or 4 nations was in moral decay. Oh, brother, I know it's too late, but wouldn't we need another John Wesley today? But he saw the pillar of fire and started the Wesley revival that swept around the world. Over here, him and Asbury, and then the same, saved the day. That's right. And then the first thing you know, John Wesley organized. So tight, the pillar of fire began to move again. Wesley couldn't move because he was organized. The Pentecostal people saw it, and away they went. That's right. Left Wesley sitting in the shade, he says. God laid him up on the shelf with Luther. That's right. The first thing you know, they had a great revival, even the Pentecostals with the restoration of the gifts. But you know what the Pentecostals did? They said, we got it all. They organized. If the Pentecostals would have moved with this light, they'd be sitting where you and I are sitting at this morning. But they organized. Ultimately, so sad. With the restoration of the gifts, the light moves on. The pillar of fire returns after 2,000 years. The veils are rent. The mercy seat's in plain view. And they turn down Christ. They reject the giver for the gifts. Amen. And didn't realize the one that gave the gifts has come back on the scene. Amen. Exactly what the word of God promised in this age. Brother Bam said, the first thing you know, the pillar of fire began to move. But Pentecost organized. It was so organized. This is the word he uses. It crystallized until it can't go. That's right. That's true. But the pillar of fire moving out, brother, there's people that's going with it. Hallelujah. And we're bound for the promised land, he says. Amen. One of these days, the Holy Spirit's going to leave this earth. And he's going to take a group of people. Just as sure as we're sitting here this morning, the pillar of fire is going to leave this earth. And there's going to be a people that's walking that light. That pillar of fire is going to take them off of this earth with him when they go. Amen. Do you believe that? Say amen. Amen. We're bound for the promised land, he says. The greatest type that Brother Branham gives us of our day is the scripture talks about a man that walked with God and was not, for God took him. And the prophet said he was the seventh from Adam. And then the prophet turned around and said, and we're the seventh from Christ. He said, all in the rapture message, he said, all of their six died. He said, they all died, a type of them dying. But the end time bride will be called out. He said, raptured, I love this, without death, will be called out of the seventh age, which we're now bearing record to that age. Amen. Hallelujah, church. There's going to be a people today on the face of the earth that's walking with that pillar of fire. And they will be not, for God will take them. Amen. That's the scriptures. Amen. Only seven. You can't go no further. Look, brother. The Gentile age has done got their last church eight messenger. They won't be another one. There's no such a thing as eight messengers. God deals with the Gentiles for seven church ages. He sends seven angels, seven stars, seven men, seven messengers. And we've done had the last one come and gone. As Brother Bam would say, and some people said, it's not necessarily true, but it is. The prophet said, it's later than what we think. You believe that? Now listen. Now here's what Brother Bam says. The bride leaves the earth, but notice when she comes back to the earth. The words that the prophet uses for the bride coming back to earth, here's what he said. Immediately followed Malachi 4's message. After the prophet prophesied, the whole earth is to be burned over. He moves you off the earth long enough to burn it. Then here's what the prophet says. And after the burn over, the righteous will what? They'll walk out on the ashes of the wicked. We're still going to be walking with him. Now you got an opportunity to either be the righteous that walk out or the ashes that's under their feet. It determines what you do with God's message in your day. How many believes that? Say amen. Brother Bram said, that's exactly so. That's according to Malachi 4's prophecy. We already seen Elijah the prophet. He's already come on the scene. God already vindicated him to be that messenger. And then God removes that messenger from the scene. Now that message that he brought is spread in the world. Brother, calling people from all walks of life. I don't care what nobody tells you. This message will get to every predestinated seed. I don't care if they're in a castle, sitting on a street corner, if they're a prostitute, a drunk in a bar room, or somebody sitting in a jail. This message has a way of getting to every predestinated seed. A little fella I met years ago over in Beckley, West Virginia. His family was a part of the Pentecostal organization that we associated with when I was a kid. He told me one day, he said, I was a mailman. He said, I was part of the United Pentecostal Church. And he said, I was delivering mail one day, and I dropped the mail off in the box, and I happened to look down on the garbage can sitting next to the mailbox. And he said, I looked down, and it said, the spoken word. He said, it intrigued me. And I looked in that garbage can, and he said, it intrigued me. He said, I looked around, make sure nobody was looking. And he said, I wrenched that garbage can, and I shoved it in my bag real quick and walked on. He said, when I got home, I started reading that book. He said, and that book is the results of me being in this message today. And he said, so Brother Luke, my testimony is one man's trash is another man's treasure. God has a way of getting to the predestinated seed. Can you say amen? But church, God brought us to this message. Now do we just settle down? Or do we continue to walk in this revelation? You're going to see it in just a minute. Brother Bem says we continue to walk in it. Now, here's what Paul said. How do we walk? Circumspectly. Now, watch the contrast. I'm going to lay something here. Not as fools, but as wise. Not as fools. Circumspectly means to pay attention to what's going on. Observing, not as one sets. No, that's not the definition. It says observing as one man walks. Literally means with precision, accuracy, carefulness in our walk. To walk carefully with acumen. That's the ideal. To observe as one walks. Then here's the other idea. Not as a fool. He said, not as fools, but as wise. Now, early in that same chapter, he says, for you were sometimes darkness, but now you're light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Now, I'll tell you how Brother Branham says it. Brother Branham says that God doesn't shine the light and show the whole future. He can, but he said he don't. He said sometimes God only shows the next step. In other words, he compared it to a man holding the lantern. The lantern don't show him all the way home. It only shows him the next step. And as that light shows him the step, he steps in that light. Ultimately, that lantern and that man walking that light will lead him to his home. Brother, I may not know everything about the future, but I know the one that holds the future. And I know that this light is showing me the way back home, amen. One of these days we're going back home, and this light is taking us there one step at a time. Hallelujah. Say praise the Lord this morning. So what does it tell us? We, don't get this idea that we weren't darkness. The prophet said we were sometimes darkness. But now something's happened. Something's called you out of that darkness. I hear people talk sometimes that when you listen to them, you wouldn't even think they was ever a sinner. I said, what name of God did you get saved from? If you wasn't a sinner, what in the world did you get saved from? I was born in this world. I didn't come with spoken word. Charles Gibson didn't speak me in existence. I came in this world by sex act. When I come out of that womb, my dad didn't have to teach me to lie and fight and none of that stuff, be rebellious. It all was a part of my nature. The only thing that changed me was the grace of God that gave me the Holy Ghost. And he's still changing me today. But I was born a sinner. Matter of fact, I could say with Paul, and not ashamed to say it, and it's the truth. He said, I'm the chief of them. He wasn't ashamed to say he was a sinner. Matter of fact, God can't save you until you admit you're a sinner. Amen. Well, I was born in the mess. That don't make no difference. If you was born in the mess, you're still a sinner. You say, I sat on a mess. People, look, I could brag with most of them. Never smoked, never drank, never committed fornication, never went to the movie house that my mom and dad don't know of. That's the truth. I only went one time, and that was to watch that movie called Rocky. And man, it come out when I was a kid, about 12 years old, and I didn't want my mom and dad. I was staying with my baseball coach, and he says, did your dad let you go? Oh, I said, oh, he don't have no problem with that. As a matter of fact, I'll call. I picked up the phone, act like I was dialing my mama. I said, hey, mom. She said, yeah. I said, they want to go see Rocky. Can I go? Okay, thanks. Hung the phone up. She said, yeah, let's go. And the whole time I'm sitting in the movie theater, I'm going like this. When we got out of there, I looked around for that car. I wanted to run to it because I didn't want to get caught watching that movie. Pentecost produced a bunch of hypocrites. I'm not trying to hurt your feelings, but the fact, they produced a bunch of hypocrites. There's a bunch of self-made righteousness. And most of the time it produced private hypocrites. Public, they looked so righteous, but inwardly they were hiding a lot of stuff because they never were converted. I'd rather just be honest with God. Say, Lord, I'm a sinner. I can't live this message unless you live it through me. You can tell me everything Brother Branham said, and you can make me know what people would like to do, the rules of the message. You know that's what's wrong with this crowd today? This message, a bunch of rules to them, and they never met the person that brought the message. Some of the, well, you women can't cut your hair. All you women in here is permitted to cut your hair all you want. Pastor can't do nothing about it. He ain't a dictator. You want to go cut your hair? Go cut it. Are you listening to me? You can do anything. Brother Bev said, I can smoke all the cigarettes I want to smoke. But he said, I just don't want to smoke. Amen. You sisters, I'm just using you. You don't cut your hair not because the message alone tells you not to. because Christ came in, and it's in your heart not to want to do that. Because after a while, the rules will run out. You'll get sick of the rules. My dad told me one time years ago, a fella got saved. He come to the altar, gave his heart to the Lord, and he was the most miserable person you ever met in your life. Every time you see him, he was so burdened down, never smiled, never done nothing. My dad said one day he backslid, went out in the world. Dad saw him over the cigarette. Dad said, "Hey, so-and-so, hey, man, how you doing? Good to see you." Dad said he was the happiest fellow you ever seen in your life. He said, "I couldn't figure out, and finally one day it hit me." He said, "The man come to Christ, but he come to Christ by fear. He never got Christ, and he lived by all them rules, and it just became a weight, a burden to him. And finally, when he became a sinner and moved away from the rules, he was happy again." Brother, this is the love affair, not a rule book. You got to get in love with Christ. You got to realize how much he loved you, and then that creates a love affair between you and him. But to be honest with you, I didn't really know how to love him until I realized how much he did love me. And that creates the love affair. Can you say amen? So we were sinners. We were in darkness. The Holy Spirit called us. And our lives before Christ was the personification of darkness. Therefore, because we were in darkness, we walked as fools. We walked on a lower plane of humanity. Brother, you can't condemn the sinner out here for what he's doing. He's a sinner. He's a pig. That's why he goes to the slop hole. But if you ever, not the church, but if you ever get him to Christ, it'll be a different story, brother. Not just filling up a church and saying, "Oh, we got so many members." That don't mean they're converted. You can have a church full of devils. But if they ever meet Christ, it's altogether different. He changes the desire. He gets on the inside of a man. Don't just change. Like we, back home, I know I'd upset people sometimes, but women come in, they got short hair, and everybody stare. I said, "What are you staring at them for? You ain't never seen nobody with short hair? Make them feel odd even to come to church." I said, "You act like you wasn't at it one time. Only you didn't bob your heads because your mom and dad told you to beat your tail." My cousin smoked cigarettes, man. I wanted one of them. I wouldn't put it in my mouth, but I'd sure smell it. I knew, boy, if my daddy caught me smoking cigarettes, I'd dead meat. One time I snuck and put a little dip in my mouth, and I got so sick. Oh, God. It was the only time I ever did it. It was right before a football game. I was so sick. They went and got my dad. I said, "Oh, Jesus." And I took water, and I was trying to get out through my teeth. I was picking. And Daddy came over and said, "What's wrong?" So I said, "Daddy, I don't know. I'm just so sick." I said, "Pray for me." I wasn't telling that man I was dipping. I'd been going home asking Mom to pray for my rear end. That's the truth. No, brother, but you ever meet Christ? It takes all that out of you. You got to make a bunch. So they come in, somebody got converted. A lady gave her heart to the Lord, and her hair was only about right there. I said, "Now some of y'all can look at her strange, but the prophet of God said, in the sight of God, her hair is just as long as yours." Once God changes that desire on the inside, in the sight of God, they stand as though they never sinned in the first place. Praise God. That hair might grow. It may grow. It might grow down to the waist, and it may not. I don't know. But I know one thing, in the sight of God, is as long as anybody else is sitting here. Some of this self-righteous attitude stuff, look, I'm not condemning you. I'm telling you, I used to have it. And the more you grow in Christ, and the longer you walk with Christ, the more you realize you wouldn't even be what you was if it wasn't for the grace of Almighty God. That's just the truth. That's why I said last night, God is a God of a second chance. And a third one, and a fourth one, and a fifth one. Amen. And second chance Christians are not second class Christians. The church don't got a little recording in their back pocket. Yeah, I remember what they did. I'm going to tell you something, there's an angel in heaven knows what you did too. No, but God delivered us. Here's what Paul said. "Awake thou that sleepest, arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee" what? "To give you light." Y'all starting to scare me that y'all can't quote the end of them verses. Starting to wonder who all's reading their Bibles. Back in Pentecost, bro, we had to learn our Bibles. We had to quote them verbatim. Quote as many as you could. That proved God was with you. No, we've been delivered from darkness. Glory. Translated into the kingdom of his dear son. Now the Bible calls us saints of light. Now we walk in light. And if we're walking in the light, then we should be walking circumspectly, knowing where we're going. The contrast is not as fools. Now let me give you an example of this, and I'm moving on. Luke 24, Jesus, after his resurrection, the light had looked every scripture that was prophesied of what Jesus would do when he come. He did exactly what the scripture said. Then he told a bunch in St. John 5:39, search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, but they are there that testified me. But you won't come to me that you might have life. And he basically was telling them, everything you're looking at in that book, in that scroll you're reading from, I am it standing in front of you in human form. He was the first man that I could ever see walk down the temple, pick up the scroll and say, this day, this scripture is fulfilled. And the only other time in history I've ever seen that is in our day, when a man could take the scripture, open the Bible, look at it, and point to this generation and say, this day, this scripture is fulfilled. Brother, it's the same Christ. He tells that bunch, search the scriptures. Now listen, some of them were. And some of them kind of believed. But after the resurrection, Jesus come down the road to Emmaus and found two men walking along. And this is what he said to them. You know the scripture very well. He come up on them and he said, hey, what manner of communications are these that ye have one another as ye and are sad? And you know what he called them? Ultimately, and I won't read it all, but he comes down and they begin to tell him what they thought the Messiah would be. And here Jesus is, the Word, preaching the Word to them. Amen. By the way, that was after his resurrection. Amen. He was still a prophet and he was still preaching and he was still doing the Word. Amen. Brother, resurrection ain't going to change who we are. It's going to change our bodies. It's going to give us a body that's commensurate with the life we already got on the inside. But it ain't going to change our position. William Branham would be just as much of a prophet in the resurrection ever was. And so will every other prophet. But now watch what he did. He says, but after he expounded in the scriptures and started with Moses, all the things concerning himself, wouldn't people have a problem with him? All Jesus ever saw in the scripture was his own life. Then you got a problem with a prophet of God that can see himself in the Word. You ought to be seeing yourself in the Word. You ought to be able to identify yourself in the Scriptures. But listen to what he says. Oh, fools. This is what Paul tells us. We don't walk this way. But he said, oh, fools. Why did he call them fools? Because they couldn't see the identified. They didn't understand what was going on around them. That it already was taking place and they didn't even know it. Slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ultimately, time Jesus was done, he changed that foolish condition. And when he was done, the scripture said he opened their eyes. Their eyes were open. And then it says, and he opened their understanding. See? Now that's exactly what Paul said. Not as fool, but as wise. Understanding what the will of the Lord is. So the difference would be determined this. Walking as fools and walking as wise would be understanding what the will of the Lord is. Here's Brother Branham. I remember down in Kentucky not long ago, I had a meeting. Out after come out of the church, there was an old man standing with a lantern in his hand. He belonged to a church that didn't believe in healing and so forth. Said, I differ with you, Brother Branham. I said to him, you got a right to do that. He said, you see, I would not accept anything unless I see it. I got to see it right plain. Did you ever see God right plain standing before you? Of course, he didn't believe in visions and things. He said, no. Showed he was blind because God was standing right in front of him. He didn't even know it. Why, I said, then you're not a believer, sir. I couldn't talk to you, see. We see what God promises and hold to that. He said, how do you figure that? Come on, go home with me and talk tonight. I said, I can't. I'd like to. Where you live? He said, just over that mountain there. I said, how are you going to get there? Watch how the prophet just leads him. You don't see your house. Yeah. He said, well, there's a path that runs up the hill. I said, you don't see no path. But I got a lantern. Lantern won't show you. Light right the house. Oh no, but the path will lead you to the house, but the lantern will only show you the light one step at a time. And then Brother Ben says, we'll walk in the light, the beautiful light, one step at a time. Lord, coming closer to thee. Yeah, children of light, accept his word. Now watch what he says. Keep walking and watch more unfold. Don't leave it no matter what somebody else says. Stay right in that and just keep walking with it and watch it unfold and reveal itself. Praise be to God. Bro, that's a great promise to every one of us this morning. Now here comes Paul. Grian, these two men preach. Brother, I tell them the church today. Jesus told John in Revelation 1 when he's walking to Mississippi, go to candlesticks, I am Alpha and Omega. Amen. Us Pentecostals use the quote, I'm Alpha and Omega and everything in between. But that ain't what he said. Because he wasn't everything in between. Right. He was Alpha and Omega. He was all of Paul's message and he's all of William Branham's message. But some things in between wasn't him. It was man's ideals that was added. Right. Only at the beginning and the end do we get a perfect message. Praise God. Well, I thought I'd get a bigger amen than that. I've been looking for that amen till this morning. Praise the Lord. Walk in the light, knowing what's going on around you, walking in wisdom, understanding, seeing the day you're living in, knowing that every step you take is bringing you closer toward home. You may not see it. You may not see it with your natural eye, but it's there. You may not see that dimension, but it's there. Just as sure as you and I stand here, I've lost 2012, I lost my mother. About a little over 2 months ago, almost, I lost my father. I buried them both, put them right down the road, put their bodies in the ground. But just as sure as I stand here this morning, they're in a dimension. Amen. I may not see them, but they're there. Amen. And if God would tarry, I'm taking one step toward that dimension. Every day, another step toward that dimension. But if he doesn't tarry, and he come before I die, then they're going to step back here on this earth. Amen. Glory. They're going to pick up bodies. Amen. Hallelujah. And they're going to appear to us. Yes. And then the corruptible will put on incorruption and mortal will put on immortality. Amen. Hallelujah. What a day that's going to be. Then we'll be gathered with our messenger. Praise God. And he'll introduce us to Jesus Christ in the middle of the air and we'll crown him King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Isn't that tremendous? What a great thing God has unfolded to us in this hour. But now listen to what Paul says, and I'll bring this to a little close here. I want you to listen now. This is going to be the nugget that I want to put on this. Walk in the light. Walk as wise. Walk circumspectly. Pay attention to what's going on. Everything. Look, brother, sister, you don't have time to pay attention to all this stuff contrary to the message. You don't even have, look, when you look out here and you see what's going on, all these people, and you see this, you don't even have time to worry about those things. Right. If you're convinced this message is right, keep your eyes on this message. Amen. And here's what he says to us. Paul comes to something that I'd like to just present to you. He expresses it with this thought. And I think this is one of the strangest thoughts of the Bible. Redeeming the time. Walk in the light. Walk circumspectly. Pay attention to what's going on around you. And here's what Paul says. And this is how you do it. Redeeming the time. I thought that was such a strange thought to walk circumspectly, not as a fool, but as wise. And when you do that, you're redeeming the time. Now, based on what we know, we're time creatures. That means you only got so much time here. God promised us 70 years. Sometimes that's cut short because of our own fault, not God's. But he says, because of the fall, everything is governed by time. Until Brother Branham says, the timeline was broke. Marriage and divorce, you can go read it. Our life is set by time. I can tell you exactly when I come in the world. Matter of fact, I can tell you what time. Tell you the day, the month, and the year. Tell you what hospital. And I've lived my life 45 years. There's a set time. We're allotted time here. We work by time. We sleep by time. I'll preach this morning by time, and it's just about up. We're simply time creatures. Did you know that the Holy Spirit, throughout the Scriptures, speaks of the concept of time? It's always a definite article. It's as if God prescribed time very accurate and gave it out in sovereignly determined doses. He gives something. He said it'll last this long, and then something else will come. And he only gave us so much time. According to Brother Branham, God would deal with the Gentiles for 2,000 years, seven church ages, and it's over. By the seventh church age, before it's done, the last name on that book as a Gentile bride will be brought in. And then the prophet said the door will close on the Gentile age, and there won't be another saved. And the church will continue to preach, and there won't be another lost, and will preach to those who are eternally lost that cannot be saved, he says. Now watch. Job understood this. He said, all my days, my appointed time, will I wait till my change come. Peter understood time. He said in 1:17, past the time of your sojourning here in fear. Paul understood it. He said, my departure is at hand. I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I kept the faith. David understood it. He said, so teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts to wisdom. Keep watching. Brother Branham says, Satan caused the fall. Man fell from eternal life. He crossed the chasm from eternity over into time. Did you know that Eve beat Adam to time? Adam was still in eternity. And when Eve came back, Adam had to make a decision to step out of eternity over into time in order to redeem her, to take her back to eternity. Brother, he was a perfect type of Christ. We beat Christ to time. But one day Christ came out of eternity, stepped down in the body of time so he could redeem us who is in time and take us back to eternity. That's what's going on right now. Now Satan robbed us of eternal life and made us time creatures. Now watch this. Now that we're in time, he does everything he can to rob you from what is eternal. So I thought to myself, are we really time creatures trying to experience eternity? Or were we really eternal creatures who are experiencing time? Now think what Paul says. Brother Branham said, Paul says, redeeming the time. Brother Branham says the word time, this is incredible, means to buy back. So does it mean that I as a believer can buy back what's been lost? He actually says that you as a believer can redeem time. Brother Branham says, to redeem means to buy back. So you buy something that's been lost. But here's the word that Paul used. And brother, I want to close on this, but listen to me very carefully this morning. The word there means to buy up opportunities. It literally means towards the port. This is beautiful. It means a destination. And here's the marvelous thought. We're heading to a destination. This is what Paul's teaching. And what we're doing is, the way you redeem the time is you buy up every opportunity along the way that will bring you closer to your destination. Now I'm explaining it to you. I want you to see this, what it is. The word that Paul uses, go search this out, suggests that a ship is on the sea. A man's in a ship and he's sailing on the sea and he's trying to reach the port. That's the believer's life on earth. You're trying to reach the port. The port is the destination. Now what the sailor can do is he can waste time, how? Fighting against the current, trying to get to the port. Or he can redeem time that every time the current goes out and then the current goes back in, he can set his sail and he can flow with the current. And what he's doing, he's redeeming time. He bought up an opportunity that would bring him closer to the port, closer to the destination. What's that saying to you and I? When you walk in wisdom, you pay attention to what's going around. You look for every opportunity that God gives you that will drive you closer to your destination. Hallelujah. Praise God. I'm going to say it like this. Every time the current goes out and the tide rolls back, that tide, if that man's got wisdom and he's not a fool, He'll set his sail when that tide's going back, and it'll bring him closer to the death. Here's how I'll say it to this church. Every time the Holy Spirit comes into a meeting, instead of just fighting against it, just lift your hands and get in the Spirit and let it drive you closer to your destination. That's what God's saying to us. The pilot uses his skill to set the sail. And when he sets that sail, he can take advantage of the wind and of the current that will bring his ship closer to the destination. That's what it's called when it says redeeming the time. He's buying up opportunities. Let me say it like this to you this morning. God gives you opportunities. And all of those opportunities is what God uses to bring you closer to your destination. There's too many today fighting against the current, failing to recognize those God-given moments, those God-given opportunities, because they're so caught up fighting against the worldly current that drifts them away from the presence of God, not using those opportunities to redeem their time. Let me say it one more way. Every time your pastor feels led of God to have a meeting like this, you know what he's doing? He's creating opportunities for you to buy up time, to redeem time. These meetings like this are for one purpose. Not to see a preacher. Not to see how good we can sing. But this is your opportunity to be drawn one step closer to your destination. Every time the Holy Spirit comes in, don't fight against the current. Don't resist the Holy Spirit. Yield to the Holy Spirit, saying, Lord, that's why Brother Ben said, every time you come in or go out, you're either closer to Christ or what? Further away. Depending on what you do with that opportunity determines if you're further away or closer to Him. Why is this so important? Let me show you what Brother Ben says. 1964, Feast of the Trumpets. Brother Bam's driving to church, and he gets to church, and he starts talking about his drive to the church. And he said, on the road down a while ago, being a little prayer before entering the pulpit, as a real sincere clergyman does, I was thinking, you know, we're having the most glorious time when we meet here together. But the people gathered from the state, sitting right here now, far away, hundreds of miles, we assemble together, fellowship around the Word. But there will come a time soon that this will just be a fond memory. These times will be taken away from us, so therefore we must do all that we know how to do to make every minute count. This is powerful. He talks about his daughter-in-law one time in a meeting. And listen to what he says. Oh, friend, I hope this old lady here don't take this too personally. Speaking of Brother Billy Paul's wife, my daughter-in-law who's sitting present now, it's been one of the greatest weeks of her life. This is in Chicago, Illinois. Brother Bam said the other evening while we're sitting together waiting on Billy to bring the car in the lobby of the hotel or on the ballroom floor, they were having a rock and roll, some kind of amusing dance of little children, boys, no more than 12 years old or less, smoking cigarettes, and little girls. Then a little lady looked at me and she said, Billy, pray for me. All week, this is powerful, all week over in her room, I heard her singing songs. I heard her singing last evening before we went to church, my favorite song, Down from His Glory. She started reading her Bible. She's pretty near read the Bible all the way through this week. You go to singing hymns, you start reading the Bible, and that stranger will appear to you. Meditate on the Word. Now just watch where he goes. It was a while those who were on the road to Emmaus, on that road, begin to talk to him that he stepped out. Then the prophet says, out of the bushes and walk with them that through the day. The reason we don't have spiritual blessings, we have too much time to watch television, too much time to read the newspapers or listen to something that we ought not to be listened to. You know, it's incredible. Brother Branham and his, back then, 50 years ago, 60 years ago, dealt with television newspapers. Today, we deal with internets. We deal with websites. I mean, the list goes on and on and on and on. And those things can be used if we're wise. They can be used as opportunities to bring us close to Christ, or they can be opportunities to pull us away from Christ, depending on your wisdom, whether you're wise or you're a fool. And listen to what he says. He says, too much time reading newspapers. Listen to something we ought not listen to. And we're not redeeming the time. But we're giving it to the things of the world instead of our time to the Lord Jesus. And the Bible said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Christians live by the word. So what do? You do it in the light that this opportunity be gone. Brother Bam said, every time the church doors are open, you can't hardly wait to get in them church doors. Brother Bam said, one place said, if you don't feel that way, it's time you get to praying. Because you know what them church doors, you know what this service is this morning? It's another opportunity. Every time them doors are open and somebody unlocks them door and come in and gets this place ready, you know what they're doing? They're creating opportunities. And it's up to you to buy it up. It's up to you to redeem the time. Because that service, if it's correct, and you come correctly, I promise you, you come with the right attitude to church, you'll never leave this place without receiving something from Christ. Because the opportunity could be gone. How many of you sisters love to go to Walmart? Target. Oh my. I won't tell you what I know about Target then. What's different? Down south, you go to Walmart, you're going to see a message believer. You know what happens? You go in there and there's a sale. And they say for a limited time only. And what you got to do? You got to get it while it's on sale. And you're so excited about that sale, they'll call other sisters and say, get down here now. And down there, they're having church at Walmart. And they're buying up all this stuff because they know the sale's going to be over pretty soon. Let me say it to you like this in closing. This is going to be over pretty soon. It's the truth. These doors will shut one of these days. By God's grace, we're going to take up every opportunity we can to make it count for Christ. But one day it's going to be over. Brother Branham said that the redeeming work will be over. The Lamb one day will leave the throne and the redeeming work will be over. He goes on to say, Heavenly Father, we're just redeeming the time now until you come. Brother Branham even used this word, and I got to go. He uses the word borrow time. He literally says we're past the time. We're literally on borrow time, the prophet said. When I think of that, I think, man, how late is it? I want to do everything I can. I want to do everything I can. Buy up every opportunity. Walk in wisdom. Be wise. Don't be a fool. Pay attention to what's going on around you. Amen. Pay attention to the signs of the times. Everything we see happen today is doing nothing but fulfilling Bible prophecy. And that shouldn't discourage us. It should make us walk in wisdom, paying attention, looking for every opportunity that I can buy up that'll drive me closer to my destination. Let's bow our heads tonight, musicians, or this morning. Musicians, come, please. Praise God. Heavenly Father, what a great privilege it is this morning, Lord, to speak of your word to your children. We trust this morning that, Father, what we said would, Lord, soak into every heart. That, Lord, somehow we could realize how late it is. That, Lord, everything we see going on is not a sign that you left us, but, Lord, it's a sign that you'll soon return. It's a little discouraging to see people walk away, but that's prophesied, that there'd come a falling away. But, Lord, as believers, we got to keep our eyes on Christ. We got to keep saying, Lord, what's the next step from here? We got to let the light shine on our path and then walk in that light. And keep paying attention. Walking exactly, accurately. Keep paying attention. Look for the next step. Paying attention. Oh, there's a meeting there. Tonight's church. Wednesday night is church. There's another opportunity. I'll buy it up. Oh, there's a meeting going on down the road. Oh, our pastor's calling for a revival. Let's go down. Oh, it's Friday. It's Saturday. And it's, oh my, there's more opportunities. I got to buy it up because it'll pass me by. Lord, if I go down that meeting with the right attitude and I step down there, Lord, I believe you'll give me an opportunity and I'm just going to redeem it. And I know there'll come something that'll push me closer to this rapture, closer to my body change. Help me to walk in wisdom, not as a fool, but as wise, redeeming the time, knowing that the days are evil. Father, bless your people this morning, Lord. May we just walk in wisdom and be so aware of the hour we're living in. But mostly, Lord, Father, keeping our eyes focused upon you, waiting for the next step, knowing that one of these days, the next step will be from here to another dimension. We thank you for that reality this morning, Father. May you bless your people, we pray, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the church says, amen. God bless you. Let's stand together if we could. Could we just sing that song before your pastor comes? Amen. You love him this morning? Amen. I apologize for taking so long. Let's sing together if we could. Walk in the light. Amen. Praise God. We'll walk in the light, the beautiful light. Walk where the dew drops of mercy. By day and by night, oh, it's Jesus, the light of the world. Yes, the bride will walk in the light. Oh, it's such a beautiful light. Comes where the dewdrops of mercy are bright. Shine all around us, Lord, by day and by night. Oh, it's Jesus, the light of the world. Oh, this bride will walk in the light, beautiful light. Oh, it comes where the dewdrops of mercy are bright. Lord, just shine all around us by day and by night. Oh, help us, Jesus, just to follow the light. Let's sing it again together. Yes, we'll walk in the light. It's such a beautiful light. Lord, it comes where the dewdrops of mercy are bright. Oh, just shine all around us by day and by night. Oh, it's Jesus, the light of the world.
Amen. God bless you this morning. Good to be in the presence of the Lord. Good to hear the word. And amen. I want to just say I appreciate our musicians and how they follow the leading of the Lord. I had that song in my heart, Brother Joshua, in the service, and Brother Joshua comes up and plays it. I don't believe those things are just by accident. Amen. I believe the Holy Spirit leads and guides and works on both ends of the line. You know, Brother Luke was speaking last night on the signs of an encourager and on how that Barnabas was an encourager and a help. And, you know, as pastors, sometimes you have people through and they hurt the church and you have to go back and straighten it up. And then you have people that come through and they help the church. And I think by the grace of God this year, the ministers that the Lord laid on my heart very early this year, they've been such a help to the church. I appreciate that. Brother Luke, he's been a help this weekend. I appreciate that. I believe he's really been led of the Lord, and I'd asked him months ago. We were talking about a situation and just both of us feeling the leading of the Lord to have him come, and just thought it would be a help. And that was months ago, not knowing where we would be now, but just feeling the leading of the Holy Spirit. And God's timing is always perfect. Amen. I like that quote he read. He was reading the quote about Sister Lois and Brother Branham speaking over there. You heard how highly Brother Branham spoke of her. Now, many people look and they look at the marriage situation with Brother Billy Paul and Sister Lois, and we all know it, and they're not ashamed of it. They know what the message says and what marriage and divorce says. You say, oh, but they were part of that group in 1965 that Brother Branham said they were forgiven. The Holy Ghost told them not to do it and to go as they were, and that they were forgiven. But that quote he read was from 1958. Oh, the grace of God. Amen. I know there's many in marriage situations. Maybe you're divorced. Maybe you've been through all kinds of different things. But the grace of God is sufficient. Amen. Without his grace, I wouldn't be here. I'll just be honest with you. I know where I'd be. I'd probably be in a gutter somewhere, Brother Jimmy, or have blown my head off by now. But by his grace, Amen. I'm still here, still pressing on. Amen. Good to see an old friend in service, Sister Sonia. Good to see you with us and good to have you. And amen. Always good to see old friends. Good to make new friends. Amen. I wonder if we could just worship the Lord a little bit longer this morning, sing a couple songs together. Was you and D, Brother Joshua? Let's go to D, if you would. D. Let's sing this. I was thinking of this song as well in the service. It's number 60, if you don't know it. Oh, I'm following Jesus, one step at a time. Is that how you feel this morning? I live for the moment in His love divine. Why think of tomorrow? Just live for today. Of the way. Let's sing it that way again this morning. Oh, I'm following Jesus, one step at a time. I live for the moment in His love. What about tomorrow, Brother Nathan? What about all these things? Oh, I think of tomorrow. I'm going to live my very best for Him today. Oh, I'll keep following Jesus. Yes, Lord, each step of the way. I like this part. Sometimes my path, it gets narrow, but He leads me on. I walk in His shadows. My fears, they're all gone. My spirit grows stronger each moment, each day. For my Jesus is leading each step of the way. What a privileged people we are to be following Jesus one step at a time. I live for the moment in His love divine. Of tomorrow, just live for today. Keep following Jesus each step of the way. Let's just bow our heads if they play that softly. Dear Father, may You help us, Lord. We can't see the end of the journey. We don't even know what tomorrow holds. But Father, as You shine Your light, help us just to walk in the light. Help us to follow You one step at a time, one decision at a time. Father, whatever You'd have for us, Lord, may we just seek Your perfect will for our lives. May we lay aside everything else, Father, all the influences, whatever it would be, but help us just to seek You. Your scriptures, Lord, when You were here on earth, You spoke and You said, St. Matthew chapter 6, You told him, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these other things will be added. Lord, if we have need of healing this morning, if we have need of salvation, if we have financial needs, marital needs, whatever we're facing, Father, help us just to seek You first. Help us to put You first, so we know all these other things they'll work out, that You'll lead us and guide us. You'll fill us. Lord, if we're empty, You'll refill us. That You can restore our joy, that You can restore our faith, that You can give us strength, Father. We know You can provide all these things. Help us just to seek You first. Help us to put You first in every decision that we make. In Jesus Christ's name, Lord, be with this group of people. Lord, be with each one as we part ways, Father. Protect us. Keep us in Your grace. Bring us back again at the appointed hour. We're following Jesus. one step at a time. I live for the moment in His love divine. Why think of tomorrow? Just live for today. My way gets brighter, my load gets lighter, I'm walking up the King's highway. Oh, there's joy in knowing with Him I'm going, I'm walking up the King's highway. Oh, it's a highway to heaven, none can walk up there but the pure in heart. It's a highway to heaven, I'm walking up the King's highway. Oh friend, if you're not walking, start while I'm talking, walking up the King's highway. I know there'll be a blessing you'll be possessing when you're walking up the King's highway. Oh, it's a highway up to heaven. Oh, none can walk there but the pure in heart. It's a highway to heaven. Walking up. Oh, it's sounding good this morning. I want to hear you sing it. This is one of the great things about it. Oh, you don't have to worry, you don't have to hurry if you're walking up the King's highway. I know Christ walks beside me, His angels will guide me, walking up the King's highway. Oh, it's a highway to heaven, none can walk up there but the pure in heart. It's a highway to heaven. Walking up. Oh, let's sing it again. It's a highway to heaven. None can walk up there but the pure in heart. It's a highway. Oh, God bless you this morning. You're dismissed. Let's just sing it as we go.